Our first reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, in which he offers us an image of the community of Jesus as a body. As we talked about last week, the church in Corinth was not the most amicable of communities. They were strong in their experiences of God, but not strong in their sense of interdependence and grace for one another. Today, as we continue in our readings of Paul's first letter to them, he offers them an image for their life together, a living, breathing body, the body of Christ. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Our gospel reading comes from Luke's telling of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He has been baptized, had the amazing blessing of God in that moment, has been driven into the desert for a time of testing and struggle, and now he emerges back home where he started, only different. And today we hear the very first thing Luke tells us about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him to bring about big change. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, if you were walking down the street, or if you were approached by a friend or a coworker, or just anybody really, and they asked you, "So, what is the church?" How would you respond to that question? I mean, just imagine the conversation for a second. Somebody's just asked you. Somebody that you know has just asked you, "So, what is the church?" The church, okay. What is my church? Well, it's a place that I go, place I go on Sundays, sometimes in the middle of the week. It's a group of people. It's a place where some of my friends are. It's a place we go and we sing and we pray and we read the scripture together and we talk. What would you put in there? The church, would you talk about it as an organization? Would you say, well, it's kind of like a non-profit organization? Just give me some examples. What would you say if somebody said, what is the church? A community? What else would you say? The body of Christ? Sure, and then when they looked at you kind of like, how would you kind of fill in the picture? It's tricky, eh? The body of Christ. Any other, it's a tough question. it sort of depends to a certain degree on who you're talking to and what the situation is, right? Since I began in ministry, and since long before that, actually, we've sometimes talked about this in different situations. I've never been in a church where there's been a lot of extra money kicking around. And so oftentimes we get into these conversations at annual meetings or in board meetings or in various different, situations where you're faced with difficult decisions because of your financial life, right? And invariably, somewhere in those conversations, when you're faced with the question of risk, somebody says, well, at one level at least, the church is a business, right? There's income and there's expenses, and you need to balance it all off. It's kind of a business. So is that what you'd say to your friend? Well, it's a kind of a business, and we're in the religious business, and some of us are in management, and some of us are in sales. So, Well, Paul had to come up with an answer to that question in the earliest time in the church. I mean, we have the benefit of nearly 2,000 years of history and tradition to draw on to answer that question. He was answering, actually, the question for him wasn't exactly what is the church, but more like, what's the church gonna be? And so he was in conversation with a really early Christian community to try and answer that question. At the time, the church hadn't been the church yet. And so there was nothing to draw on. I mean, he drew on his Jewish background, but he was also doing a new thing. So he's kind of making it up as he goes along. And by some beautiful act of grace, the grace of God, he came up with this image. The church is the body of Christ. For just as the body is one but has many members, and the members, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Indeed, the body doesn't consist of one member, but of many. The community. Community is an organism. It's alive. And its life is the Spirit. And its unifying energy is God. And every member, every part of the body has a part to play. And no member is either expendable or all important. The community is an organism. Is that what you say to your friend? It's an organism? Maybe not where you'd start, but it's a body, and we move and we breathe in interdependent ways. And when one member is honored, we live in the joy of that honoring together. When one member suffers, we all suffer together. We're an organism. We know what it means when an organism, when part of an organism suffers and it affects the whole body. Anybody had the flu yet? No. Yeah. Well, you know, when the head is not on right, you know, or filled with all kinds of stuff, it affects the whole self. And there's one critical piece of that vision. He's talking about gifts, spiritual gifts within the community, and he's trying to create a sense of interdependence and equality. And the critical piece of that vision is that we are all gifted. And somehow we need to know that in our bones, know that in our souls. We all have a part to play in the whole, but each of us needs to know what that part is, and know it well enough in our heart and soul that we don't hesitate to step in when it is our time, and to step out when it's someone else's time. And the dance of interdependence goes on. So the question becomes, what is my part? What is the gift that I bring that is critical to the body? What part am I called to play? Interesting, that wasn't a question that was hard for Jesus to answer when he came into Nazareth on that first part of his ministry. In our gospel reading, we heard that Jesus had returned from his time in the desert 40 days. He had, before that, experienced the Spirit at his baptism, calling to him, "You are my beloved, in you I am well pleased." And that Spirit drove him into the desert to spend 40 days figuring out what that might mean. I'm guessing he didn't have a really clear answer to the question before he went, but he sure was clear when he returned from the desert and went into Nazareth and sat down in the synagogue with his community and picked up the roll of the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and found the part in which it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me." I know my holy purpose now. I know the spiritual gift that God has assigned to me. I know the part I play. It's a wonderful thing when somebody finds their giftedness, finds their calling, you might say, finds the thing they're called to offer in their life. Last night we went to the Robbie Burns night in White Rock, where we saw Ed dance, and we saw it was a great night, and Kendrick played the pipes. He piped in the haggis and did a little solo in the middle of things. And it put me in mind of a time when, a couple years ago, when Kendrick was we were on the way home from White Spot Pipe Band practice. And it was a time when he was just loving this thing he was learning. And he's sitting in the back seat, and I think Trina was driving, and he says, he's talking about the pipe band, and there's a little bit of silence, and he said, "You know, Mummy, I think I was born to be a piper." And then there was a little more silence, and he said, It's a really good thing when somebody finds out what they're born to do." He's so right. I mean, you smile at that, thinking of this little 9-year-old with the confidence to proclaim what he was born for. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to play the bagpipes." It's a beautiful thing. I think, though, that he's right. I mean, the bagpipes thing, we'll see, right? It's looking pretty amazing right now, but we'll see. But for a person to find their giftedness, to find the thing that fits so well for them, he's right. It is a beautiful thing. And I think that it is in us all. God has anointed us for something, has given us gifts that are meant to be offered. It's a beautiful thing when we discover those gifts and have a place and time and opportunity to offer them. That old Quaker hymn, "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come round where we ought to be." And when we find ourselves in the place that's right, it will be in the valley of love and delight. Finding our giftedness. Well, I want you to have an opportunity to explore that giftedness in you. There's an instrument and a process through which we can help people explore their spiritual gifts. It's called the Spiritual Gifts Inventory. It's been pulled together over a couple of decades, and it's a kind of a survey, a set of questions that have been devised and calibrated to measure giftedness in different areas of the spirited life. It's not perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect instrument. There's no test that you can take to discover your giftedness. Life is never that easy. But this is an inventory. It's got 110 questions and offers a starting place for us to then look and talk about the various different spiritual gifts, and helps us discern within ourselves what 1, 2, 3, 4 different gifts God has placed in us. As I said last week, God, the assignments God has given us in our spiritual life. Have you been given the gift of prayer? The ability and the inclination to hold in a quiet place in your soul and in an open place to the presence of God the lives of yourself and other people and this world in prayer. Is that your gift? Have you been given the gift of organization to see clearly the actions that can lead to the goals we might set for ourselves? To organize resources and people and do what it takes to tend the needs of the organization. You've been given the gift of organization. It's a spiritual gift that not all of us have. Have you been given the gift of assisting? That crucial gift of supporting and caring for practical, often behind-the-scenes tasks that makes it possible for a community to be a community? Have you been given the gift of faith, of giving, of healing, of hospitality? There are so many spiritual gifts, and God has placed them all in us. We have all we need in this place for Northwood to be the body of Christ, alive and filled with Spirit. We have our assignments, and it's for us to discover what is within and then to find a way to offer it. Next Sunday, after church, Penny, who has discovered one of her spiritual gifts, bless her heart, has offered to make a finger food lunch. And I want to invite as many of you as can make it after church to pick up your coffee and pick up some finger food and then gather for an hour and a half with me to take the spiritual gifts inventory and to work through it. It doesn't take very long to calibrate it and then to enter into some conversation with each other and with me about what spiritual gifts God has assigned to you, God has given you, and how might those be offered by you for the sake of the whole, not just this whole, but the greater whole. It's really kind of fun. A few people here have already done it, and it can be really fun to talk about, and it can be very revealing because we're Canadian, as I said last week. We don't easily jump to say, this is my gift. We kind of wait till somebody says, I think you're gifted in this way. Really? You think so? Well, next week might be an opportunity for having some of those kinds of conversations, to venture out a little bit and say, maybe this is, and to see what other people have to say about our giftedness. It might be very revealing and very empowering for each of us. And I believe that one of the purposes of the church is to help people find their place of giftedness and to create a setting and a culture where we can explore those gifts and offer them, practice them, grow in them. I mean, God's dream for our church is that we be the body of Christ in a fulsome, healthy way, a living, breathing organism made of interconnected members who know, as Kendrick would put it, what they were born to be and do. Know their holy purpose and the part they're called to play. God's dream, an interdependent community of people with gifts that are discerned and understood and cherished and nurtured and offered and received with joy. So, what is your part in the body of Christ? Let us pray. Great giver of all gifts, we thank you for this particular body here at Northwood and for the body that is the United Church of Canada. We give you thanks for the nurturing and resources you have given us that we might be fully alive and live abundantly. We ask for wisdom to discern your call, to discern our giftedness. We ask for courage to offer a word of encouragement to others in their giftedness.
We ask for grace that we might receive with joy gifts offered sometimes haltingly, sometimes confidently. Guide us as we seek to deepen in our identity as the body of Christ in this place. These things we ask in the name of the one we seek to follow, Jesus our Christ. Amen. I neglected to mention earlier that our prayers are also with Gina this morning. Gina is sick this week. Talked to her on, I think, Wednesday and then Friday and then this morning. And she's getting better, but there was a moment when she sounded like death warmed over. I talked to her this morning, and it was wise for her to not be here this morning. Thank you, Cheryl, for stepping in on short notice. The spiritual gifts at our disposal are wonderful and abundant. So it just so happened that the anthem, it was a piece of work on the piano. Not the kind of thing you want to just pick up and sight read. So you'll get that anthem. We will sing that anthem in praise of God in some other week. So let us continue in our worship as we bring before God our offerings. And while that